Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. The clock radio set this morning, and would you believe that I woke up to a beautiful message preached by a black preacher in Brooklyn on this topic this morning. And so as I preach to you today, I've already been preached to. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for the joy that is ours, that enables us to sing, and enables us to have music in our hearts to you. Lord, we thank you so much for the good news of the gospel. We thank you so much for the good things that you give to us day by day. We praise you for the beautiful life that you give to us. Lord, today, as we read this portion of your word, we realize that there's another side to being a Christian, that side of struggle, that side of battle, that side of contending with evil powers that we can't even see. Our God, we pray that you'd minister to our need today. We pray that you would convince us of the importance of doing what is suggested here. Lord, help us all to go from this place eager to put on the whole armor of God. Lord, help us to all be in the battle. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever watched a wrestling match? For me, it's the most draining of all sports to watch. It seems somehow that I'm involved more in that than any other. If there's someone you know wrestling, it's even worse. Even the intensity of the crowd seems to be greater. I'm sure that there's a tremendously intense experience of going and watching a football game. But to see a wrestling match is something else. The Word of God tells us that our struggle is like a wrestling match. In the portion that I read, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." The translators, I think, change that. In the King James, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." More correct reading of that is wrestle. I think that they put the struggle there because Paul mixes his metaphors and they come out with this struggle business. But it really means to wrestle. Wrestle. The metaphor mix is later on when he comes out and says, put on the full armor of God, which metaphor suggests the foot soldier in a battle with one company against another company, one army against another army. And the battle is on a little different plane there. But Paul, I think, on purpose, mixed his metaphors to impress us with the facts of our Christian life. And one fact is that our battle is intimate and personal. That's what makes wrestling so difficult. If Grace and I would go and watch Peter wrestle. Oh, what an experience. And even before he got on the mat, Grace would be sitting next to me and I'd be leaning against her. And she'd say, come on, take it easy, take it easy. You know, that's not Peter out there even. You can imagine what we felt after Peter wrestled. Grace says, I can't take it, I can't take it. It's this personal part of it that's so intense in wrestling. It's one-on-one. One-on-one. Yeah, I have such admiration for a person who goes in for wrestling, because you're out there all by yourself. There's no one to cover up for you. There's no one else to blame. You're out there by yourself. And the Apostle Paul, after he's going to say, put on the whole armor of God, for you stand like a foot soldier in a great battle. But he doesn't want you to get that sense that you're not personally, intimately involved. It's one-on-one with every Christian. Do you sense that? Have you come to grips with that? Ridge had a wrestler this past year. What a beautiful sight, you know. Oh, the bulging muscles. Beautiful. Beautiful body and build. And very strong. Very strong. The only problem was he didn't know the moves and the holds. And so he won his matches, and he won a number of them, simply on his strength. But the day that I saw him wrestle, someone who didn't look nearly as beautiful as he did came out there because he knew the holds, he knew the moves, he put him down. He put him down and won the match. That person used his technique, his moves, his holds to win. The Word of God says, let God make you strong. Let God make you strong. Be made powerful in the Lord, in the struggle. This intimate battle that you have. What can I say? If you're not conscious of it, you might be unconscious. You know, you might be out of it. When I say there's a personal, intimate battle going on and every one of you are involved, there should be say, yes, that's right. I know it. Tomorrow I'm going to face it. Today, this afternoon. It's that struggle of life. It's that struggle to be what God wants you to be. And if you don't know anything about it, I don't know what to say to you today, apart from the fact that somewhere along the line, maybe you've been neutralized by the enemy. And then he says, after everything, after all the temptations, after all the battles, to stand on the field as a victor, having done all to stand. And what does he suggest? He suggests this armor of God. The pieces are labeled there for you: truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the Bible. If you're in that struggle of life, you've got to make sure that you've put on all of these things the way God wants you to put them on and incorporate them into your life. I don't like to be known as a holier-than-thou person, but God says, put on righteousness. There's something about being a true person. Put on righteousness. The gospel. I like to be a person that sort of blends into the shadows. He says, put on the gospel. What does that mean, to put on the gospel? What does it mean to have faith? How many things would you be saved from if everybody knew that you were Christian and that you couldn't hide? You know, the world holds you up to a high standard. Oh, so-and-so can't do this. They're a Christian. They'll hold you up to that standard. Do you tell anybody? Do you let them know? How much you'd be saved by just that alone? Have you ever come to a promise of God and trusted it and said, well, now I'm going to build my life on that. I'm going to experience it. Have you ever said, well, you know, the Word of God says this, so that's the way it is. Love your enemies. Be holy, for I am holy. We could go on and on. The battle is personal and intimate. You must be involved. You must stand. You must engage the enemy in battle. You must put on the appropriate pieces so that you can stand and be strong. The second thing that I notice here is that my enemy is invisible. My enemy is invisible. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe that. Let's think about it for a moment. Some people see this thing that Paul is talking about, and they know that there's a power in the world that somehow controls their lives, and without the knowledge of the Word of God, they say, it's fate. It's beyond me. I'm a pawn when it comes to life because of this thing, fate. Well, the Bible says we struggle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Some people say, fate. If you go out into some of the areas that have not been touched by the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, you will find that the people are worshiping God in fear. They are so interested to appease Him. They're fearful and they do all kinds of things, sacrifice from everything from animals all the way up to human lives, because they want to appease this force. It's not God. God didn't ask for that kind of sacrifice. He provided the sacrifice for mankind. No, it's that struggle against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, an enemy that we can't even see. I know it's there because of the world situation. Don't you think it's idiotic, the things that you read in the paper, the millions and billions of dollars spent on armor? Don't you think that's idiotic? With so many other things that are needed in our world, don't you think that the drug trade is idiotic? The whole thing? That people would take this substance and destroy themselves? Don't you think the whole system of alcohol, when you're traveling, you get to see it. You know, the first thing they do in the airline is come out with the little cart with all those little bottles on it. Even in the morning. And then the thought that some of our statesmen are half-potted when they come to negotiate at a table, that's idiotic. No one using their rational mind would say that you would do something like that. But it's ingrained in our whole system, the armor, the drug trade, the alcohol, the crave for material things, the craving for material things. And we could go on and on and on. The prey on our mind, those forces that prey on our mind with all of the evil suggestion and imaginations. I heard one preacher say that there is not one Christian alive who would not admit to the fact that sometimes their very thoughts would embarrass hell. And we'd all say, yes, I know what that is. I know what that is. The contagious power of the crowd today. The general spirit of our society. And you say there aren't spiritual powers, rulers, authorities of this dark world working on the minds and hearts of men, and that we're struggling with that every day. How could you say that? Do I need to add to that? All of these things that we talk about and so fascinate us with ESP and hypnotism and all of the other psychic phenomena that seem to be so prevalent today. Authorities and power. This dark world that we struggle with. Well, it says something to me. As a follower of Christ, it says something to you as a follower of Christ. You don't play with being a Christian with your idle hours. It's not merely a pleasant fellowship that we're talking about. It's not making everything comfortable for you and protecting you into a nice little Christian ghetto where everything is sort of set out and neat and everybody behaves the way they're supposed to behave. No, every inch of it is a fight. It's a battle. And again, I could prove it to you by saying, has there been any resolve in your life to move Godward that wasn't met by an equally strong force that says, no, that's not what you want. No, you'll make a fool and an ass of yourself. Isn't that true? Isn't it true? That every time you make a resolve, memorize a verse of Scripture. Get into the Word every day. Witness to your neighbor, whatever that resolve is. And know God's victory over those small little temptations that always get you down. Whatever that resolve is, you've been met by a force. And it's one-on-one, that struggle and that battle. And God says, be strong in me. Be strong in me. Know the moves. Know the technique. Know me. Know my power in your life. Not without a fight. No victory without a bloody battle. How do I know? I see Jesus Christ. I see him tempted in the wilderness, toe to toe, eyeball to eyeball. And I know there's a battle. And Satan withstood him there. And I see him in Gethsemane, a battle. Or we say he sweat drops of blood, and it sounds so religious. But they tell us that that is a normal phenomena when a person is under extreme stress, that you would sweat drops of blood too, under that kind of condition. And I listened to Paul in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And I see the Lord Jesus in the struggle. I see something else here. Our enemy is revealed. Satan never shows you God. He never tells you about who God is. He never lets you know, see a glimpse of him. But Satan is always fully disclosed by God. And I see him here. He doesn't talk a lot. That helps him. We should learn from him there. But he's fully revealed. I thought back on this. This sermon sounds otherworldly, doesn't it? It sounds remote in some sense. It sounds very real in other senses. And I asked myself the question as I studied this week in this passage. I said, what's the significance of all of this? This wrestling. What is the significance of this? Oh, I'd so much rather be comfortable. I'd so much rather go along with the crowd. What's the significance of my wrestling? Why? Why? And I came to the conclusion that I'm part of that battle that started a long time ago with that enemy who wants to spoil all that belongs to God. It's not egotistic to believe that the big guns of evil would bother with me. That's not egotistical to believe that. Or that the big guns of evil would bother with you, they most certainly are bothered with you, not because of your significance inherently, but because of your significance as a follower and as a redeemed one and as a loved one of the Lord Jesus. And everything that belongs to the Lord Jesus is hated by Satan and by his hosts. And you're involved. That's the significance of it. In spite of all of that, and I've come to know as I've grown that every challenge to me and every trial and every temptation and every defeat and every negative thing that can come into my life, God uses that for some good purpose. And I see it here too. Yes, our struggle, we're wrestling one-on-one, face-to-face, toe-to-toe with an enemy that we can't even see. Described as rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And I'm engaged in that. But God allows it. He allows it because He wants us to know Him. What person comes off a battle and says, you know, I wish it never happened? Only the defeated person. I often thought of those three Israelites that Nebuchadnezzar threw into the furnace. And when he looked into the furnace, he saw not three, but four walking around in there. And he says, one is like the Son of Man. I can imagine some well-meaning Christian coming up to him and saying, it was a pity that you had to go through that terrible experience. You just see them roar back and laugh and say, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Closer to home. That's what Tom Brown told me when I saw him. I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Two brain tumors, brain spasms, cobalt treatment, and all of that. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Why does he say it? Well, God wants us to know Him. What about the fight? Has your faith in Christ united you to Him? So now, Christ and Satan in the wilderness is not some obscure figure, but your friend and your helper and your coach. Has your faith in Christ exposed for all time the horror of sin? Or are you still playing with it? Has your faith in Christ spoiled the glories of this world forever for you? Has your faith in Christ so filled you with purpose and resolve that you've determined in your own heart and will that only He will triumph in your life? And that because He loves you so? Has your faith in Christ given you the resolve to say, I'll put on the whole armor of God. I will stand in the evil day. I will be victor through Him who loved me. And above all, I'm not going to play around with my commitment to Christ. I'm in the battle. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to follow the directions. I'm going to triumph. Let us pray together. As we close our service today, we want to have time to talk to God about what He's spoken to us. We believe that God had a message for you today, and that along with hearing His word being spoken from this pulpit, you also heard a still small voice from the depths of your being that had something to say to you. Will you respond to what God said to you today? Lord, as we claim that inch, as we claim that victory, we know that we'll only succeed as we lose our own independence and realize that we must be strong in You. Lord, help us not to do it our own way and go down to defeat. Help us to put on the whole armor of God. Help us to be following Your directions. Help us to stand in that evil day. Lord, for the person who is unaware of the battle, we pray that they might understand it. For that person who never gave their loyalty to You, Lord Jesus, who never understood that it was for them personally that You died, We pray that they might tell you that they love you for that today. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting with us. May we be strong today in your power, for we commit ourselves and all that we've prayed today to your safekeeping, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
A little children, rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Lift your head up high and rejoice, you're a child of the King. A little children, rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Lift your head up high and rejoice, you're a child of the King.
Of the King.
Child of the King. A little children, rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Lift your head up high and rejoice, you're a child of the King. Lift your head up high and rejoice, you're a child of the King, of the
King.
Thank you. How to say.
With it. So it would be a contradiction of terms to say, I'm going to accept Jesus and take your sins with you. You've got to let them go. You've got to let them go, whatever they are, from the great big ones down to the little small one. Some people have defined sin. And perhaps the most damning evidence of man's unredeemed nature is that he manipulates people to acquire things. That's a sin. That's a sin. You manipulate people to acquire things? You see, when it comes to sin and